Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anusha Marodi, the host of WNYC's New Tech City, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. Thanks so much for having me. It's hard when Brian goes away, right? Well, hang in there, because on today's show, we're going to talk about how the city is working to make pre-K a reality for September. Later, how women can close their so-called confidence gap. Plus, the problem with food grown in some parts of the Hudson Valley. And at the end of the show, share your memories on air as we mark the 50th anniversary of the World's Fair here in New York City. But we're going to start with municipal IDs. Here's a bit of Mayor de Blasio in his recent State of the City address.
We will reach out to all New Yorkers, regardless of immigration status, issuing municipal ID cards available to all New Yorkers this year.
For those residents with no access to federal passports or state driver's licenses, New York may join some other cities in issuing its own IDs aimed primarily at undocumented immigrants and those with no permanent address. Freshman City Council member Carlos Menchaca, who represents Sunset Park in Brooklyn's 38th District, is a co-sponsor of a municipal ID bill. Hello, sir.
Good morning.
And he joins me now along with Daniel Coates, lead organizer for Make the Road New York, one of the organizations that's been working on this issue for some time. Welcome back, Councilman. Welcome to WNYC, Daniel Coates.
Thank you.
So you both had to show photo IDs when you walked in the door this morning, right? These days, who doesn't have an ID mainly?
You know, I did exactly that. I asked what would happen if I didn't have an ID walking into the building, and there's a process. And there are so many folks, seniors, LGBT, homeless youth, undocumented immigrants that are living in our city. There are folks that are walking right now with their passport because they just haven't made it to the DMV for whatever reason. So there are big groups of folks that don't have access to this right that we have as New Yorkers.
And Daniel, are those mainly the people that you talk to?
Absolutely. Although I would, you know, also be able to expand it. You know, we have groups in our coalition who are representing folks, regular old New Yorkers who don't have a driver's license.
Because they didn't renew it or they never learned to drive or whatever.
Exactly. And, you know, we heard one story of a woman who doesn't have a driver's license, has been existing on a library card and couldn't buy something at a shop that she went to because she couldn't use her credit card with the municipal, without having an ID. So this is a really broad issue when you really look at it.
Councilmember Menchaca, as the first Mexican-American elected to the city council, how important an issue is it for your constituents in Sunset Park?
You know, it's been such a huge, huge issue even before I became a council member. And what we're hearing from folks are those stories of parents not able to go into their own schools, for example, and go to PTA meetings or their son or daughter's.
Because they don't
theater.
Have ID to show when they go,
you
when they want to go
to
the school.
You need an ID to walk into our schools. There's a lot of government offices that require IDs. And so for folks that are trying to access city services, to be a New Yorker and access all the benefits, this has been a huge issue.
Listeners, anyone who's without an ID for whatever reason, what are some of the things that you are prevented from doing? If you're a fully documented citizen but you don't drive, would this form of ID appeal to you? Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or you can post your comment or question to our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show. So besides office buildings, we touched on this a little bit. Some of the places that you need photo IDs, school buildings, libraries, anywhere else, Daniel, where you find that some of the people you talk to just, you know, they're kind of stuck?
So for our members at Make the Road New York, we're seeing a lot of these same issues, but also for undocumented people, you know, feeling confidence when they're stopped by the police or when they want to have interaction with local authorities. For young people, many of whom don't, you know, only have a school ID and perhaps that gets lost, it's hard to have something, this is something that's really attractive to them. For LGBT New Yorkers and transgender New Yorkers who, you know, want an ID that affirms their gender identity, this is also really attractive for them.
I mean, something that you just brought up, undocumented people having this ID, how do we know that this program couldn't become a database for federal immigration enforcement agents? I mean, they don't have to play by the same rules, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we've crafted this introductory bill to really address that issue. And privacy is at the top concern for us in the city council and working with our advocates. So that's going to be that's going to be part of the conversation as we move forward in developing the final bill. And we're committed to that.
And what can you do? Like, how do you any details that you can share with us?
What we're talking about right now is, for example, the retention of documents. This bill currently does not support the retention of documents for the actual card. So we're moving to make sure that we understand the entire kind of federal accessing of databases. We're not the only ones doing this, of course.
Right.
And so what we should also mention is that there are other cities like New Haven, Oakland, San Francisco who are working.
And what are they finding in terms of managing this federal municipal question?
Well, they're finding none of these models are the same. So you have
we're all working it out. Huh?
We're all working it out, and we're going to be learning from them. And so we're starting our hearings process at the end of this month and hoping that we can get a lot of that information and data to analyze. So in Oakland, for example, they have their municipal card connected to a debit card. In San Francisco, they don't retain any documents at all. And so what we're hoping is that we hear from New Yorkers as well. And this is what I'm hoping people can call in about what their concerns are so we can take them.
Okay, so I want to go to Dan in Manhattan. Dan, are you there? It's Manoush sitting in for Brian.
Good morning.
Hi, Dan. What's your question?
I feel like non-driver IDs have been available through the state for a long time. I'm not sure I understand what the urgency is to give someone who can obtain other forms of ID legitimate identification.
Good question. Okay, so Dan says, you know, we have non-driver IDs. Why do we need this?
That's a great question. And I think, one of the goals of this city ID is that it's very easily accessible and easy to obtain. So you're really kind of building a program that a lot of...
Easier than going to the DMV?
Absolutely.
How is that possible, Daniel?
I mean, I don't know if I'm the only one in New York that just kind of cringes when I have to go to the DMV, but I think I'm not alone. And so what I think we're also need to talk about is not just the non-driver identification card that the state DMV will give, but what we're trying to do here that the mayor just heard, and the city council and the advocates have been working for such a long time, which is an easily accessible municipal ID that's New York-based for everyone in New York, regardless of your immigration status. That is not what we have right now at the DMV.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a large group of people who cannot obtain these IDs, like the folks who we mentioned at the top. And I think the goal of this ID is to both be able to integrate those groups better into the city, but also build a municipal program that kind of unlocks New York for New Yorkers. And so that's where we've really been thinking about where is it that the city and, you know, with all of your listeners and folks who are going to participate in the process can come up with connections, programs, discounts, access that can really, you know, open up the city in ways that it hasn't before for the residents of New York.
Let's take another call. Jerry, you are on the line from Rockland. Jerry, you there?
Yep, here I am.
What do you think,
can
Jerry?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yeah. I think it's our right and privilege as Americans to walk around without ID. And I really don't understand why we are making an effort to make sure everyone has ID. It smells like Nazi Europe. It feels like Nazi Europe. I don't understand why it's such an important push, why it's something that has to be done, unless you intend to shake down people who don't have ID. It's our privilege. It's our right. It's like freedom of speech. We have the freedom to go wherever we want in this country, and we shouldn't have to be worrying about our ID, you know?
Okay.
I am in Rockland now, but I grew up in New York City. I didn't have a driver's license.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Thanks, Jerry, so much. I mean, Jerry's saying Americans have the right not to have an ID. I mean, I have to say, I lived in Berlin for a couple of years, and when I got there, I had to register with the police, and I had an ID with me at all times. So how do you respond to that?
You know, there are a lot of communities that I think feel the vulnerability of not having identification. And so what we're really talking about is not the issue of having and forcing folks to have identification. It's for New Yorkers that can't get to where they want to go. And that's our schools, and that's our government buildings and programs. And so
but if you do that, doesn't it end up creating a list that sort of has a stigma attached to it, that if you do have one of these IDs, then you are definitely in a category of other? You're LGBT, you're homeless, you are undocumented.
I think what we're saying is actually opposite. What we're saying is that this is a card for every New Yorker. This is a card that's going to be shaped by every New Yorker. And I'm hoping we can get some callers about ideas and what their card should be. This is about pride as a New Yorker and allowing for us to not feel the kind of stigma and really kind of unite around this identity.
Exactly. I think the broad kind of coalition of groups and ideas at the table really is kind of moving this idea that we want to build a card that's accessible and attractive to everybody. So you're going to have millions literally of cards.
Okay, we've got a comment on our website from Batya. She says, once my driver's license expired, I squeaked by with a university library card and eventually senior easy pay Metro card. I hit a brick wall when I went to return an item of clothing to a store, which had become one of my favorite shopping venues. After pleading with both the clerk and manager, the store would not give me a refund on my credit card because I had no official ID to support it. So that sort of speaks to what you're talking about. Right?
Absolutely. You know, and the more you think about it, the more conversations you have with folks, people have had these experiences that range from a return at a store to again back to that mother that wants to get an access to their local school.
Okay, let's go to Judith in Westfield, New Jersey. Judith, can you hear me? It's Manoush here.
Yes, ma'am, I can. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Splendid. So delightful to talk to you. I very much enjoy whenever you're covering for somebody.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, I think this is a great thing that – I guess it's the mayor of New York, yes. I'm not a New Yorker, but it wants to do for people to get them ID more easily. Because I, for a long time, was able to use my City of Elizabeth identification. I work at the library there. And I'd show them that at Amtrak, and they'd be appropriately dazzled. And they'd say, oh, that's fine. You know, then, of course, they wanted more and more and more, and don't you have a driving license and this, that, and the other. So I got with my brother, I went to the DMV in Raleigh, New Jersey, which was not a bad experience. It was quite pleasant, actually. And, you know, so now I have more identification. I did hear an interesting thing. Now, to me, this is anecdotal because I did not ask the person directly involved. But he knew a great deal about Amish people. And I asked, well, how do they get around this business about the photographs, you know, because they might think that's rather intrusive. He said they are permitted, I guess by federal law, to use a thumbprint as an identification because that will be even more distinctive than a photograph because siblings can very much resemble each other, you know. So I thought that was a good thing to know.
Yeah, very interesting. Judith, thanks so much for calling in. So, council member, there's lots of creative ways about going about this. I guess my question comes in, which is what kind of proof of identity would someone have to show to be issued one of these IDs? How do you protect against fraud?
Well, we have written into this law, and I want to make sure to really give credit to our council member, Danny Drum, who has been one of the fiercest advocates for this in the previous session, along with our speaker, Melissa Mark Viverito. And so what we're doing right now is starting the process with this legislative introduction of this bill. And we're going to be sitting down with the agencies. All the agencies are at the table right now to discuss what this is going to look like and really go through a rigorous process of verification of these documents that prove not just your identity but your residency. And so that's what we're going to be talking about through the hearings.
Okay, so if you've got ideas, call in. Let's go to Amanda. She's calling from Manhattan.
Hello.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Alush. Glad to speak to you. I'm calling in just to add, a perspective on what it feels like to not have ID in the current climate. I, too, a middle-class white woman, grew up in America, you know, that eschewed, you know, a national ID or having to use any ID of any sort. As a kid, went out all the time with no ID and no money. And then I became a victim of Hurricane Katrina.
Oh.
And I left New Orleans, came back to New York. I'm a native New Yorker. And in the process of Xeroxing, you know, copying thousands of pages for FEMA claims, I inadvertently left my driver's license at the Xerox shop.
Oh.
And, you know, I was
And
just,
what happened? So did you get it back?
Well, a year later, I got it back. I went into the same Xerox shop for something. I was desperate. I was trying to get a passport because my passport had expired while I was in New Orleans. I wasn't traveling. But after 9/11, even an expired passport was not good enough ID. And heretofore, it had always been ID, at least. You couldn't travel, but it was least identification. Then it was no longer acceptable for ID. And for a year, I felt seriously. It wasn't even you feel like other or internal exile. You're a nobody without current official ID.
How so? Like, what did you feel like during that year that you had no ID?
Well, you know, it's a little vague now, but you just feel ill-prepared to present yourself at any kind of official venue. I had a debit card. I don't think, and aside from the expired passport, I just had nothing else. So I wound up not doing anything, you know, not going anywhere.
Amanda, thank you so much for your story. There's lots of nodding heads here in the studio with me. What are you guys?
That's powerful testimony right there. And that kind of feeling of being a nobody is what we're trying to address here with the introduction of this bill and what the program is going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a really great encapsulation of what so many people across the city see and, you know, kind of I think the driving vision behind the work that Councilmember Drum and Menchaca and the mayor and the speaker are all kind of wanting to see this really be something that, you know, is a way of recognition that the city can provide to all of its residents and that then really, you know, can be something that contributes to, you know, bringing the city to integrating all these folks together and making it a stronger place.
Let's hear another personal story. We've got Jennifer on the line from Manhattan. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Tell us your story.
Yes, I am. I am a transgender activist here in Manhattan, New York. I come across a lot of transgender people all the time who have a problem getting the correct gender marker under ID, having to jump through hoops, having DMV turn them around. And then when they walk down the street without an ID and they're stopped by the police, because we are targeted by the police tremendously, if you don't have an ID in your pocket, the police will stop you and they'll use that to take you in and say, hey, look, we're going to hold you for up to 72 hours. Until we figure out who you are. And it allows a person to be unwrongfully held in police custody. Never mind the major fact that transgender people are stigmatized by DMV and the slew of paperwork that you need. My personal experience at this point, what I'm going through from moving from a different state, is the anxiety of going over there, presenting my birth certificate that has a male name on it and a male marker, my old ID, which I lost, has my female marker on it, and then having to go through the plethora of questions that DMV is going to ask me and paperwork and proof that DMV is going to ask me for. It's absurd.
Is this the type of thing, gentlemen, that, you know, something like that Jennifer has to go through, which sounds extremely stressful, a lot of explaining, this would take care of with a municipal ID?
Absolutely. We're going to be exploring that same question about how we can make it easier for our transgender New Yorkers to be able to express themselves through this identification card.
Now, from what I understand, the mayor has been a longtime supporter of this idea, and he introduced a bill for this as public advocate. Is that right?
I'm not sure. But what you've said is absolutely true.
He has been a
supporter of this municipal identification card. He came out strong in the campaign for it, and we were very happy that in the state of the city, his first address, that he included this.
And he specifically said, I saw this on the web, that he wanted to give these ID cards the capacity to be linked to bank accounts and work as debit cards too, so that people wouldn't have to put their earnings in cash. And is that going to be part of your bill, council member?
You know, we're definitely exploring that. And this is where we already mentioned the Oakland model as something we're going to be looking to. But for New Yorkers, these are some of the issues that they face today. being able to open a bank account should not be a luxury. Everyone should be able to have access to that financial tool.
And I think regardless of whether or not the the prepaid debit, as it's called, aspect is incorporated into the actual card, there is a really important financial inclusion part of this, right? Being able to ensure that, you know, all local, small, big, et cetera, financial institutions use this as a valid proof of identification to open a bank account. And then, you know, at the back end also, the fact that the city will be potentially issuing millions of these IDs really gives an opportunity to provide some really important financial education and options so that people who are getting these IDs are also directed to being able to open non-predatory bank accounts, et cetera, and get those good, crucial financial services.
Okay, I want to go to E in Brooklyn. E, are you there?
Yeah. Question, how do you protect against abuses by law enforcement? Because I could just see this as a means to sort of like, you know, issue summonses, issue tickets, because I do believe on the books there is a law that you must have ID on you. I'm pretty sure I'm correct on that. And so, you know, if you don't have ID and if you, you know, there's some, you know, you're just going about your business and like, oh, you're going to the store and, you know, something happens or you get into a dispute and you're asked for ID and the police is involved and you don't have ID, you're sort of like stuck, you know. And so my thing is that I'm concerned that, you know, police would even, you know, enforce the law even more and start issuing tickets, you know, tickets to people who are not carrying ID. I mean, I understand, you know, I think all those reasons why you want this ID is pretty valid, and I am sensitive to that, being a queer person, being a person of color, female, et cetera. But I also am, and I have ID. I have a non, you know, driver's ID. I've always had it for years. But,
if there was a municipal ID, would you go and get one?
No, because my non-ID, my non-driver's ID has worked since I've had it, you know, since college. I got one, you know, you go away to college and, you know, you need ID. So I understand the importance of it, but I also see it as a way for the police to start, you know, enforcing, you know, tickets, you know, and that's another way
okay.
to trap people. Like you know, I'm always, you know, concerned if I'm going to the store, you know, because I prefer to use cash and credit cards. And so I'm going to the store. I don't think of, like, let me take a whole wallet with me. I just take some cash and go to the grocery
sure.
store.
Okay.
But, you know, God forbid, you know, I'm going to run into, you know, a cop or something. And
well, let's
like,
put
okay.
that question. How do you, Councilmember Daniel, how do you convince someone like E that a municipal ID card would be better?
Well, I think that was a great call, and there's a lot in there to discuss. I think a couple of points I would make initially, you know, our hope is that the municipal ID is something that the police will accept when they're stopping somebody. And by being able to do that for folks who don't have ID, create a sense of confidence with law enforcement and municipal authorities that they don't have currently. I also think it's really important to be able to think of this ID as a floor and not a ceiling. I think it's very important that the city not create situations where this ID then becomes a requirement to do other things, right? This ID is designed and being thought of as a door opener more than as a requirement to be able to, you know, go about your regular life as a New Yorker. And, you know, to the caller's point, you know, I would encourage her to think about, you know, what we could include in this ID that would make it attractive, right? Let's say it was really easy to get. You could just stop in on your way to the subway, drop off, you know, some stuff and pick it up in a process that's to be determined, but that was easy to get, that then, you know, at, you know, I don't know, first Fridays in Brooklyn Museum could offer you know, special screenings for folks who have municipal IDs and all of these sorts of ideas that could kind of come up in the future.
So before we go, council member, it's early days, it sounds like, right? When you walk out of here, what's going to happen next in terms of getting it on the road to potentially be passed?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is hold a public hearing. And we're hosting at the end of the month, and we'll be sending that information out very, very soon. So that's the first thing, is really kind of get a good sense of not just the advocates, but New Yorkers, like our callers, to talk to us about that. We're engaging conversations with the mayor's office about these issues that we just talked about today on air, and really understand those relationships with agencies, not just NYPD, but all agencies that interact with New Yorkers, just to make sure that we improve that. And then we'll find a final, or we'll find ourselves at our final bill, and hoping to pass that very soon.
Okay, we have to leave it there.
Thank you.
This is the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Anoush Samarodi, in for Brian Lehrer. I've been speaking with Brooklyn City Council member Carlos Menchaca and Daniel Coates, lead organizer for Make the Road New York. Thank you both so much for being here today. And up next, the deadline to apply for the now universal pre-K program is next week. Your questions answered after this.